delivering clear, concise, and entertaining content on demand, this is SharperTalkMedia.com. Join the community. Welcome to Higher Up, the podcast designed to help you take your business to a higher level.
Get the latest news and updates on everything human resources.
Unlock the occupational DNA so you can identify, select, develop, and retain top talent.
And now your host, John Beck.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of Higher Up, your podcast to help you take your business to a higher level. Our guest today, Lee Carraher, is the founder and CEO of Double Forte PR and Digital Marketing, a 15-year-old national agency that works with beloved and upcoming consumer technology and wine brands. She is also the author of Millennial Management, the Essential Guide to Making It Work at Work. Lee is also the author of The Boomerang Principle, Inspiring Lifetime Loyalty from Employees. It's an actionable guide to creating high-performing work cultures ready for the future. And Lee Carraher, welcome to the show.
John, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here today.
Well, I can tell you, we're really excited about it. I've had an opportunity, you know, to stalk you online and find out some things. Usually that's not a good thing, but in this instance, I hope it is. And yeah, so we've been able to find out some good things about you, and we're really excited to have you. And I tell you, one of the things that is, you know, so interesting, I just can't wait to dive into it, and that's all the information about your new book, The Boomerang Principle, Inspiring Lifetime Loyalty from Employees. I'm so ready to dive into that. But, you know, your bio is fantastic. It's so impressive. But, you know, give us the off-bio, Lee. You know, tell us a little bit about something that's not on the bio that, you know, is going to surprise us. Tell us a little something yourself. Come on.
Bio is so long, John. well, you know, I've been in public relations and communications my entire career, and part of that has been for the last 17 years I've run my own company, and in that part is like the whole running a business piece is what you know, most people don't learn in whatever career they've started. You have to really learn that separately,
right?
And in my books I really wanted to share, you know, what I've learned the very, very hard way so that people don't have to go through the pain that I went through.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Sharing it. Yeah.
What else about that's not in my bio? Let's see. I split my time between San Francisco and New York, and now I've actually, my family's just moved to Wisconsin, so I'll be doing that as well from the western Wisconsin.
So Wisconsin. And, really? So you're going to be a cheesehead out there? Is that right? Oh,
yes.
Goodness. All right. Well,
thank God I'm already a Packer fan because it would be not good if I wasn't there.
Well, you know, I have a special tie with the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to share this because, you know, no one in the audience knows what I'm about to say. In fact, it's never been publicized or heard of.
Here we go.
Yeah. So I'm going to give a reveal since, you know, you gave a little reveal, and that is one of my years and years ago when I was in my youth, I created this little apparatus for grilling chicken, right?
I mean, oh my goodness.
And actually I received a US patent on it, and you know, it actually kind of took off, and it kind of went to the national level. And then it was like either Esquire or I forgot which magazine, but it was one of those men's magazine type things. And it was voted the number one grilling accessory at Lambeau Field. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I am on the map. That is it. And, you know, I'm from the South. And so Brett Favre, I've always felt tight and close to the Packers. And but anyway, yeah. So it was.
I don't think I saw a grilling expert on your bio, John.
No, it was not. And you will not see it. since then, we've sold the company. But the funny thing about it was called the Chicken Rocket. And that's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. So I am ready to jump into the Boomerang Principle. Let's get started. What is the Boomerang Principle? Tell us.
So the boomerang principle is the concept that those companies and organizations that not just allow, but actually encourage former employees to return to them as employees have a strategic advantage over those that don't.
Okay.
And yeah. So in a nutshell, that's what it is.
All right. I got that. So what's the strategies or, you know, to make that work? How does that work in an organization? Yeah. What are the steps? You know, that's good to say how we get it done.
Right. Well, first you have a mindset. You have to change. If you have a mindset that once someone leaves you, they're dead to you, you have to change that. You got to throw that out the door because it's not going to work for your business going forward. That's not where we're living anymore. And that's the first thing. Second, we have to think about loyalty in a different way. You know, often people will say, oh, you know, Joe left. Oh, he's so disloyal. Well, actually, when you are getting paid for a job and you're showing up and doing your job, that is not a loyal act. That is a transaction for which you're getting paid. Loyalty is actually things that you do not have to do when you're in the world. And so what we want is employees who are with us, who are successful, and then when they go on because they're telling you that they want to do something different, which is not a bad thing.
Right.
That they're out there in the world, and when they see opportunity to help a former boss or a former company, they do it because, oh, that would be a good idea. You know what, John, you should meet Lee because, you know, you'd be great fit for the organization. Or, you know, oh, I just saw this great client and I want you to talk to them, Lee, because I think you'd be fantastic for them. That is a loyal act. Showing up for work is not a loyal act.
You know,
so those two mindset changes are important.
And then, you know, you never really think about it, but, you know, you're exactly right. And I've had former employees that have, you know, given me a ring and said, hey, John, there's someone that, you know, you ought to meet because they may be a really good match for you or your organization or whatever. And, you know, I never really put it in a perspective, but that is true loyalty. That is. Wow. Yeah, that's good.
That's really the power of it, right? The power of it is how do you create a company where people can feel once they've left, because you hire someone, you know, they're going to leave. It's not rocket science to know that someone's going to leave you once you hire them.
Yeah.
The question is, how long can you keep them in the company in a productive way where they're excited? And when you create a company that people want to return to, you've created a company that people don't really want to leave until they're really ready. And that's the competitive advantage.
Is that leading into the new loyalty paradigm for organizations, this employee-employer connection?
Well, absolutely. And so what are the steps for that? So once after you have the mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go backwards. Right. Let's start from the backwards way instead of from the front way.
Right.
In the backwards way, it's change your mindset. People aren't dead to you once they leave you. You know, how do you create a increasing profile, increasing footprint in the world?
Let's talk about alumni. I'm going to want to chat with you a little bit about these points, okay? This point one, changing your mindset, right? And so how many times when you know, I have organizations we work with all the time that are constantly searching for talent, that next top performer, that individual that's going to bring something to the table. Some have already left, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. If you have that they're dead to me attitude, you have talent, experience. And you know what the benefit is? Like you said earlier, they're out there in the workforce. And what are they doing? Gaining more and more. And why not go back and look at that?
Changing that mindset. Yeah, totally. Because anytime someone comes back to you, they're actually more valuable to you the second time around than they were the first time around. So when you have an opening, what if the first question was, is there anybody in our alumni group that we'd want to bring back who would be good for this job?
You know what? I like that right there. Alumni group. Ugh. All right.
Because, you know, create the alumni group, and I'll show you how to do that. It's really simple.
I don't want to interrupt you because, I mean, we got these five points, and I don't mean to jump in, but I want to, you know, have a discussion on some of these points. So, you know, so creating that not dead to you mindset, all right, step two, where we go?
Step two is that next thing, right? Every time you have an opening, who in your alumni group would be perfect for this?
Okay, yeah, all right.
Step three is make sure you're connected to the alumni that you want to be connected to, right? So when someone leaves you, if they are boomerang eligible, we call it boomerang eligible, people who can boomerang back to you. Right? That's
good.
The boomerang part, right? If you're boomerang eligible, and not everybody is, you know, some people don't leave on good terms.
Right.
And some people you know, just were a mismatch from the beginning.
Sure.
But most people are probably boomerang eligible. If they're boomerang eligible, get them into a club or get them into a private group. I my company is very small, so we use Facebook groups, private groups. But there are software and other platforms you can use to organize hundreds of thousands of people if you have them. And then keep in contact with them. Make sure that they are invited to your private group. Make sure that you're posting information about your customers, your own company, your former employees, what they're doing all the time. Let them connect with each other. I'm not talking about a rogue LinkedIn program.
Right,
you know,
no, right.
I'm talking about something that you administer.
Sure.
You know everybody's birthday. They worked for you. Send them a birthday card. It's not that hard, right?
Right.
And just keep people connected to you so that they see a value in that, right?
Just a quick note. For all of our listeners, think about that for a moment. I mean, we all talk about, you know, conducting exit interviews. You know, when you have great people leaving, you obviously want to find out why and what. And sometimes, like Lee's saying, they may be leaving just because they want to try something different. It's not a bad thing. Having part of that exit interview, I mean, you know, doing, hey, we'd like you to join our, you know, XYZ alumni group. And what is that?
Yeah.
Well, that's all of our former workers. You know, we have the special group. We like to just, you know, keep in touch, follow you, you know, track, be with you along the way. You've helped us in this journey, and we want to be there, you know, and with you. And
exactly.
Wow, what you're telling them, you know? You're just invited them back is what you've done.
You just invited them back, right?
Wow, I like that.
Because, when people leave us, we give, you know, I send a note to them. It's a card. Welcome to the alumni group, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And it just is you know, when you are pissed off at someone leaving, you know, it's always disappointing when someone leaves the company.
Sure.
Always.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
But it's reality. Number one. Mm-hmm. So why not, you know, just jump over that whole disappointment thing, right?
Yeah, it goes back to point one. You have got to have the right mindset to be able to get to the alumni group, right? As an organization, you know, you've got to, I'm loving it. Awesome. So where we go from here, we're on point four or five. Did we cover all the steps?
We're pretty much in the
step.
Well, the first, you know, basically the mindset to the apparatus. So the apparatus is this alumni group that is administered by the company, and we can be, it's social and it's tactile and could be in events too. Like, so McKinsey International, they run the gold standard of this, right? Mm-hmm. In every office of McKinsey, there's someone dedicated to all their alumni. They have events, they have learning, they have access to McKinsey University. I mean, they're the gold standard. Most companies can't do what they do, but you don't have to do all that to have a really effective alumni group.
Wow. So we've got our alumni group set up. We're doing some basic things, you know, keeping in touch, putting our company information, letting them follow us, following them. How do you approach an employee so they come back? I mean, you know, how should we do that? How do you go about that?
I can tell you what we do here. So I meet, I'm the CEO of the company. I don't hire very many people because that group, you know, doesn't turn over very much. That works for me.
Well, that's because you're so great to work for, obviously.
Hopefully. But, you know, every new employee I meet, right? And within the first 2 weeks. And in that conversation, I say to them, I know you're going to leave. And I just take it off the table.
Yeah.
Right. I just like, you know what? I'm so happy you're here. The team is so excited about you. I'm really glad that you wanted to join us. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us and for you. I know you're going to leave, but I hope you're here for a long time. And I hope when you leave, you come back. I start every relationship I have with an employee with those words. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for choosing us. We're happy we chose you. I know you're going to leave, and when you do, I hope you can come back.
Wow.
Because it just sets the whole – and people are very taken aback, even though if they've read my blogs, even if they've read my book.
They don't really think you believe it, right?
They don't think I believe it. Well, my company is 17 years old. We're very small. We have 36 people right now, and we have rehired 17 people, and we've rehired 4 people twice. So I'm walking the talk here.
I'm telling you, that's
You know,
yeah,
and then the deal is, if someone's leaving you, it should not be a surprise,
mm-hmm.
right? You should not be surprised when someone wants to go do something different, because
right.
you're having a good conversations with those people. You are finding out what they're interested in, seeing if they can put their interests, not just their talent, right? So there's
mm-hmm.
different. You're looking for assessments and are they good at something versus what they also like to do, two
right.
different things.
Right.
If you put what they like to do to work for you, wow, you're keeping them in there and they're more excited about it and they can get more done for you, right?
Right.
And those are good conversations you should be having all the time. And then when someone is ready to go because they've been with you for a long time and they maybe they just turned 40 and they want to move to Los Angeles or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can have the conversation that is, how does this fit into your life? Right? How does this job fit into your life? And how can we make it fit into your life longer? And if it can't, if you're not doing the job well enough, or you want to do something that's totally off the mark from what the business does, then the question is, how can I help you achieve your goal?
Right.
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 And that's when you are helping people achieve their life goals is when you're creating that loyalty that will last for their entire lives and help your business by definition.
That's when people go from working for managers to working for leaders, for sure. People that they
exactly.
want to be engaged with. Let's talk about this. I mean, does this all work with the millennial group? I mean,
it is perfect for millennials.
What do managers have to do to work well with millennials and the boomerang effect? I'm almost calling it the boomerang effect. I'm sorry, but it's a boomerang
okay.
principle. But yeah,
my first book was called Millennials and Management: The Essential Guide to Making It Work at Work. After I epically failed at retaining millennials and then figured it out. So I would say that boomeranging is perfect for millennials. 60% of millennials say they would work for their former employers again.
Wow.
60%. Now, only 40% of companies would say they would rehire people. So you are by 20% of those, there's a huge delta there of people leaving talent off the table when they're looking for it, right?
That's huge.
So, because millennials, right, these people know, and I think the Gen Z behind them that are coming into the workplace now know the same thing. A company will not take care of you if you don't count on the company to take care of you.
Right.
Companies don't control their own destiny as much as we like to think we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, their parents, millennials' parents, got just shattered in the 2008, downturn and then lost 8 million people lost their jobs. Mostly these were millennial parents of millennials. Right,
right.
They know not to, and their parents have been telling them, don't stay in a job too long. Don't get stale like I did.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, they're not going to make sure that you have a side hustle. Make sure that you have more, that you're taking care of your career, not counting someone else to take care of your career. Because boomers, I'm the last year of boomers, and we had a very different economy, a very different situation. It was a wait my turn generation. If you just waited your turn, an opportunity came to you.
Right.
That is not the case for people in the workplace today. So you have to take care of your own career. You have to make sure you're learning something new and you're more valuable and you're not doing just one thing. Because if you're in a job today, it will change dramatically within 5 years. And if you're not current, you're out of work.
You're out of work, yeah. And so you talk about not letting people be wrong. So
yes.
What does that mean? I mean, sometimes people are wrong. What do you mean by that? Let's talk about that.
What I mean by that is, managers and employees, they sometimes have different languages for the same thing. So you could be working for me, John, and I could say, okay, John, I need that later today. What I mean is, before I leave the office today, you need to give me the thing.
Right.
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 Later today to someone who graduated in the last 15 years actually means 11:59, 59 p.m. in whatever time zone they're in.
Yeah.
Because that is the predominant deadline in high school and college.
Right. You're right.
Right.
It is.
So I'm right. Right. I'm right. I'm telling you, give it to me later today. They are right because they gave it to me later in that day, in their day. But they are wrong because they didn't do it when I wanted it.
Right.
But I didn't set them up to be right. I set them up to be wrong.
Right.
Because they
yeah.
have a different understanding of what later today means. And a lot of it is generational.
Mm-hmm.
End of day actually used to mean something. It doesn't mean anything today. Later used to mean something. It doesn't mean anything today. So be specific, be as specific as you can so that when you have given a direction, there is no there's no chance of people not understanding it. Like, what didn't you understand about 2 p.m. Friday the 4th in the Pacific time zone?
Yeah, that's pretty.
There's nothing not to understand about that.
Yeah, exactly. Be specific, you know, get what you ask for, what you get and get what you ask for. What about, you know, we all know we're still struggling with these male dominated workplaces.
Yes.
What can women do to help themselves? Let's talk about a little bit about that. Let's cover that.
Yeah. Just a little about it.
Well, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast. In fact, we might do that. You know,
happy to come back. So, you know, women, there's a few things, right? I believe that most men don't understand that they are getting in women's way.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that most women haven't been trained to stand up for themselves.
Okay.
So if you're being ignored, if you feel like you're being ignored, you need to examine like why you're being ignored. Are you the only woman in the room?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I'll tell you, like in the second Obama administration, and you know, Mr. Obama had women in his administration very high up. And in the first administration, they felt they were getting ignored. And in the second, they worked together, and they, in the second administration, their ideas came to the top more often than not. And the reason was because they figured out how to amplify each other. Men amplify each other. Hey, John, that was a great idea. Women don't bother with this. Women are very pragmatic. On to the next.
Right. You're right.
The male, and there's a lot of data on this, but the male nature is to say, John, that was a great idea. I'm going to echo that and add to it. Women are like, just keep going. They're like, that was understood, and we keep moving. We need to make sure that everyone in the room understands that we agree with John or we disagree with John,
right,
and we're going to add to it. So amplifying each other, which is not a natural female tendency. We have to be amplifying everybody, not just the men amplify each other all the time. Men don't tend to amplify women if they're not being amplified by them.
Mm-hmm.
Just even amplifying good ideas and adding to them will help you be part of the conversation because it's a code we didn't understand. The other thing is, women, if you're in a meeting, right, women don't sit next to each other. Sit across from each other. So that when so if I'm sitting across from Sally and Sally and I have an idea, I would say, hey, so that was a great idea, Sally. And someone has to look at me now. And then Sally would say, Lee, you know what? I like that. And then everyone has to move their head to Sally.
So you're not just looking at them and getting a 2-for-1 look, right?
Exactly. I mean, because people can like just bump over them. I mean, this happens. There's a lot of data on this. I have a woman, a friend, Andy. She's a very powerful lawyer in Chicago. She's like 4'7". I mean, she's teeny weeny.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the only woman partner at her law firm. And she's a force to be reckoned with. And she actually wrote a book about this that was, you know, she would, first of all, she would walk into a room and she would just bring a lot of stuff with her because she would set up a lot of space around her. So she was taking up a lot of space because
right.
She does it, right?
Right.
Second, if she felt she was being ignored, she would stand up, she would go to the corner, get some water, and she would stay there. And then she would say, hey, John, I have a thought. And then everyone would have to turn to look at her, right?
Yeah.
So setting up situations where you make sure you're being noticed is often taking cues from what is the behavior of people around you. Is it right? No, it's not right. Is it real? Yes, it is. So let's stop fighting it and just do it, right? Those are the things I think immediately change the dynamic in the room.
When, and this might be somewhat of a personal question for me to ask, but because I do it and I'm just, you know, I never thought about it till now. So you might give me a perspective on it. And so how do women feel when in a meeting type situation or just in work environment, when a man does amplify a woman who is doing a fantastic job and acknowledging that in front of others? Is that, you know, and I know that doesn't happen a lot, but when it does happen, that's a good thing.
That's a good feeling. They're good. Yeah.
Because
I think it's good for everybody, right?
Yeah.
And I'll just talk for myself. You know, we want to be recognized. Everybody wants to be recognized for their contribution.
Well,
everyone wants to matter in organization. And when someone else acknowledges your contribution, you are mattering.
Well, I say that as I am president of our company, but the true president of our company is a lady named Kylie Becknell, who I am constantly, every time I'm on the, you know, on a conference call or we're in a meeting, I said, well, I'd have to defer to the real CEO of the company, you know, because she actually runs the company. And, you know, she is, does a fantastic job. And I feel like sometimes I might be overdoing it, but I don't feel like I am. But
You can't overdo it.
All right. So I can't overdo it. Keep doing what I'm doing on that, right?
Can't overdo it.
All right. That's good.
But also, you know, the more power you give away, John, the more powerful you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman.
Yeah.
And the more power and acknowledgement you hoard, the less you actually have. And the more we have that mindset that if we're leaders, you know, leaders help other people lead. Yeah. That's, you know, it's not about them. It's about everybody else.
A good friend
no
of
matter
mine,
what gender.
A good friend of mine who co-authored a book, Leadership Charisma, Derek McCann, he's in Ireland. We've talked a lot, and, you know, he's always talked to me about, you know, he was sort of a mentor to me, and he always talked to me about, John, when you help others achieve what they are looking to achieve, they will, you are, you know, exhibiting the type of leadership that people want to be around, you know, when you
Absolutely.
Do those things. So, yeah. Now, as we're starting to wrap this up, give me that, bring it all together and, you know, for our listeners, let's bring this all together for them. What's your closing thoughts on the boomerang principle?
You know, I think in going forward in our economy, we are going to be in a shifting environment always. I mean, it's going to be shifting faster and faster, and work is going to change and change and change. In the end, we are all competing for the top 25% of people.
Mm-hmm.
And any business, small or large, is competing for those top 25% of people. And the top 25% want to be with the top 25%. And when you're creating companies where the top 25% want to be and want to return to, your business has a strategic advantage. We'll have a longer lifeline. We'll have more profit than those companies who are churning and burning people and not looking, you're not even entertaining the thought of having someone return to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably, well, you know, when you said go back and look at the talent that is left and open the door and change that mindset, that's got to be opening up some eyes for some folks right now. And I can tell you one of the biggest takeaways is if you and your organization have not considered some type of an alumni group for your former employees that you want to be connected to you, that's something you really ought to think about. It's fantastic, fantastic information. And Lee, I want to just take a moment and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share your thoughts and ideas on the Boomerang Principle with our listeners and our professionals all around the country, in fact, the world. And Lee, tell us a little bit about where can we, now, of course, as you know, folks, we're going to have a entire section on www.hrhireup.com dedicated to Lee, this interview, links to her book, her organization, everything you need to do to get in touch with Lee and find out more will be there. Also, Lee, let's give those listeners some direct connect. I mean, where do they go
sure.
to get the book? How do they reach you if they were interested in connecting with you, whether to do a talk or your organization? How do we find Lee?
The best place to go is my website, www.leecarahar.com, LeeCarahar.com. You can find my books. You can find my speaker. You can find all the, you know, you can find a lot of downloadables and worksheets and all the things I've talked about. And you can follow me on Twitter at LeeCarahar and on LinkedIn at LeeCarahar for all this information as well.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much, Lee. We really appreciate you again. And, you know, folks, we know when you're deciding to click on that link or choose that podcast, we know you have a choice. And we want to thank you again for tuning in and listening to us today. And we hope that we've given you a little nugget that you can take back to your organization and put into effect. And let me tell you, when we talk about effect and principles, we're talking about boomerang principle. And so don't forget about it. It's good stuff. And so follow us again, www.hrhireup.com. This is John Beck signing off. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Higher Up with John Beck.
For show notes, updates, and more on how to break the code to unlocking occupational DNA,
join the community at hrhigherup.com.
And take your business to a higher level. This has been an exclusive production of SharperTalkMedia.com. Join the community.